Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
So I have a show and tell for you today relates to the scripture reading. The reason I have the show and tell right when I do is because I want you up here so that you can know that when we read the scripture, that this story is for you all as well. So I should have next a picture of a man named John Calvin. I told you this was going to be a disappointment. So John Calvin lived 500 years ago. Woo! John Calvin lived 500 years ago. He was an important pastor and theologian. That means he talked about who God is in our Presbyterian tradition. And the part I actually want to show you is we're going to zoom in a little bit on this picture. Right there. Down there at the bottom of the picture, there's a picture of a hand like this holding a heart, like a Valentine's heart, not like an actual anatomically correct heart, which is nice. A hand giving a heart to God. Okay, and so this comes from Calvin's personal motto, the thing that he always tried to remind himself is the most important thing. And his personal motto is, "Sincerely and completely, I offer you my heart, Lord. Sincerely and completely, I offer you my heart." And he says that to God. So to offer somebody your heart is like to put your deepest trust in somebody or to devote your whole self to somebody. And the reason I want you to see this is because I know you're going to be very attentive to our second hymn, the one right after the sermon, and you're going to be like, whoa, where did all this language come from? Well, it's this, okay? So, sincerely and completely, I offer you my heart. That's going to be the refrain of our second hymn, and now you are in on where that came from. Are you excited? This was not nearly as disappointing as it was made out to be beforehand. Now, the Bible reading that Warren is about to read for us is also about where we put our heart, where we devote ourselves, where we put our trust. So I'm going to invite you to stay right where you are for the scripture reading, and then after that, you will offer us a gift of music. All right? Scripture reading time.
We got some wonderful new names in this scripture reading, so you're going to get the Warren Pitcher edition. But before the reading, prayer of illumination. Give us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now this lengthy scripture reading is from Joshua 24, 1 to 15, on page 267 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible. Please follow along as I attempt to read. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and sons Abram and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst. And afterwards I brought you out. When I brought you your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards you lived in the wilderness for a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them forever. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he blessed you. I rescued you, but I would not listen to Balaam, therefore he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And you can't say that three times in a row. But and I handed them over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve God.
Now there's this other image on the screen, and none of these people are John Calvin. But my question for you is, looking at this picture, who's the most important person in this picture? Say that again. The one sitting. The one sitting. He's wearing a green vest. And what makes him the most important person in the picture?
He's being served.
He's the one who's being served. Yeah. And who are the freest people in this picture? The ones doing the serving, Dick says. He is right about that. Their shirts even say free right on them, right? Volunteer. That literally means they are there of their own free will, right? See? See what we did there? And I would contend that they are free precisely because they recognize who the most important person is in the picture. So for these past several weeks, we have been reading the story of God setting the people free from enslavement. We've been reading the story of Exodus, which is the foundational story of the whole Bible, really. I have written in my notes Old Testament, which is also true, but it's truer than that. It's the formative event that our Jewish cousins look back to as the beginning of being a people, and it is the shape of the gospel stories themselves. This is the story that gives its shape to the life of Jesus. And Joshua today retells the story, the whole story of Exodus, right there in 15 verses. And so he gives us some really familiar stories, things that we remember reading just a few weeks ago. He gives us some really deep cuts from the ancestral narratives all the way back to the time of Abraham. And he puts this story all together intentionally to make a point. So he highlights all the way back from the time before God called Abraham, and then he talks about the time of enslavement in Egypt, and then he talks about these conflicts with these powerful people groups who have really interesting names, and the way that God delivered the people of Israel from every one of those situations. So these are three places where people served other gods. That was an important theme in there, right? So So Abraham and his family, before God called Abraham, they served other gods across the Euphrates, as Joshua says. And the enslavement in Egypt, a time when the people had to serve a foreign power who served these other gods. And then here they are in this new setting, surrounded by people who again serve other gods. And every one of these episodes is not just a story of that choice, but it's a story of God triumphing over these other powers. A story of God triumphing not by the people's own power or merit, but because God chooses to deliver us. And so this story, the shape of this story is theological. This is a story about God overcoming the very same other gods that then Joshua turns around and rhetorically offers to the people as alternatives to serving the Lord. So Joshua lays out this whole story as good news, as the particular kind of good news that it is, that God liberates you from powers that are too strong for you, so then are you going to be free? God has liberated you, so are you going to be free or not? So the Sunday before Thanksgiving has me thinking about freedom and the stories that we tell about freedom. What are the stories and the histories that we tell about the freedom that we recognize and experience here in this place? What are the stories and the histories that we avoid telling about the freedom that we experience here in this place? What are the stories that we falsify or that we tell only from one perspective? We have choices about how we tell our histories, and those choices shape the way that we think about who we are now. That is true of individuals and families and countries and cultures. And so the stories that we are going to tell this week about Thanksgiving, a lot of these stories reflect this United States national mythology that reflects some of our highest ideals and at the same time invites some really sharp criticism for our failings and for our sins, particularly for our sins against the indigenous people of this land. And so I experience Thanksgiving as Thanksgiving with awareness and gratitude for what I have received as who I am today in the place and time that I live. And I experience Thanksgiving with a lot of awareness that so much of what I've received has come at the expense of other racial and ethnic groups. And I hear that same tension in the way that Joshua tells the story. He says, "The Lord gave you land on which you had not labored and towns that you had not built, and you eat of vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant." And he presents that as a gift to the people. And I hear that as a problem for me. Now, I can't argue with the biblical text. There is good news in that statement as well. But there is also no voice from the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and the everybody else in that whole list of names. They're not represented. They're simply named as having been here, and now they're not. And I'm aware that Christians for at least 500 years have used this very passage to justify racism and genocide and the displacement of peoples from the lands where we white European Christians found them. And the whole history that Joshua recounts, all the way from Genesis, all the way through the book of Joshua and beyond, has been part of that justification. And so I have to recognize the ways that I have benefited from the misuse of this story to justify the doctrine of discovery and manifest destiny and the Homestead Act and redlining and on and on. And I wasn't there for any of that. But the people that Joshua is addressing in this history, they weren't there for their whole history either. We are just responsible for what we do from where we are, starting with our responsibility for how we tell the history that got us to where we are. So Joshua tells this history with a particular purpose. He tells this history toward a particular choice. He says, you have been freed. That's the gift, that's the grace in everything he says. You have been freed, not because of who you are, not because of what you have done. You have been freed because God is a covenant-keeping God who has set you free. That is the good news here. And the choice is, now will you live in that freedom? Now will you live in that freedom? Will you live in that freedom, or will you follow that human tendency toward the oppressive power of sin that we wage against each other? And we know as we read this chapter, if we read even just two more verses along in this story, we will know that this people will serve those same powers again. They choose this day whom they will serve, and tomorrow they may make that choice some other way. And they'll make that choice from a much more powerful position than they were in before. But we know that about ourselves too. We know that we again and again choose sin. And that's why Joshua frames Israel's choice in those terms. The choice is, will you claim the freedom that God has won for you? But the challenge of that choice is that if we serve the Lord, we have to set aside those other gods, the gods of ancestry, the gods of economic and political power, the gods of trying to keep up with our neighbors. We have to set those gods aside in order to serve the Lord. But this is good news. This is good news, that God has stood with and for the people as they have faced powers that were far too strong for them, and God in Christ stands with and for us against the powers of sin today as well. And in fact, our own liturgical calendar, our own way of marking time as a church, we call this Sunday the reign of Christ, when we celebrate that Jesus is greater than every power that would try to bind or enslave us, including the powers that we choose for ourselves. And so we are freed. We are freed today for service of God and service of our neighbor. We are freed for a future in which creation is restored and human beings can live in wholeness. Long after Joshua spoke to the people, the Apostle Paul would write to the early church. He would say, "You were called to freedom, so serve each other through love, because all the law has been fulfilled in this single statement, love your neighbor as yourself." And 1,500 years after that, that John Calvin guy we looked at just a few minutes ago would tell us, the Christian philosophy would have us give place to the Holy Spirit so that we might no longer live to ourselves alone, but have within ourselves the living, reigning Christ. The living, reigning Christ within us. That is what sets us free for that future that God intends for us and all humanity. So that's what I mean when I say that these people in these white t-shirts are free. They are free because they have chosen this day whom they will serve. They are free because they sincerely and completely give their hearts to the Lord, whose service is true freedom, to the glory of Christ forever. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
When we gather with friends and family at Christmas, we celebrate the many gifts that we have both given and received. We hope that the Christmas gift we offer is exactly what that special person has been hoping for, yet we know that the only perfect gift ever given is the one we receive in Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born among us, this child, God's Word made flesh, fully human and fully God, he became one of us, one with us, one among us. In all of our vulnerabilities, our struggles, and our triumphs, Jesus became one of us, leading us, knowing us, connecting us to himself and to each other, and offering us his gift of eternal life, the perfect gift. Through the Christmas joy offering, we reflect God's perfect gift to us by offering generous support to church leaders, past, present, and future, who have pointed us to God. We honor and celebrate leaders like retired pastors, church workers, and their families who find themselves in critical financial need because of health or other emergency circumstances. Our gifts restore hope and stability through the assistance program of the Board of Pensions. We honor and celebrate emerging leaders, students in schools and colleges equipping communities of color, who prepare to bring their gifts in service to the world God loves so much. Our gifts support opportunities for students to grow and build lives of faith, honing talents and skills to serve God, the church, and the world for years to come. Jesus' example, as a child born to be among us and lead us to eternal life, it provides a pattern for us to follow as we celebrate those who have led us in the past and will lead us into the future. Through the Christmas joy offering, we come together to support past, present, and future leaders, embodying God's perfect gift to us, Jesus Christ. We will dedicate the Christmas joy offering during worship on December 18th. You can contribute to it anytime between now and then.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.